Good morning, Encounter family.
Good morning.
Hey, let's give the Lord a hand, continue to acknowledge his presence today. Just want to make him known to this world and in our lives. And yes, you should have been here yesterday. Many of you were. This room was transformed. It was like tables, and women everywhere. It was packed out in this room. And what a great day. And already so many great praise reports coming in of just what the Lord did in lives. And so we praise God for all that the Lord did. We give him the glory. I just want to say thank you to Kelly, who is our women's ministry director and our communication director, and just give her a hand, along with Lindsay and Lori B and so many who were on our IF leadership team. All of you, God just used you in great ways. And no one knows what goes behind the scenes to make a day like yesterday work, but we praise God for all that he did. And I can't tell you how thankful I am to just be a part of a church that is touching lives, not just in our community, but in our communities around the region. And so praise the Lord. Well, today we are continuing our Greatest Day of Faith message series, and we're beginning to talk about how often in life God uses the little dots, the little pieces of our life to lead us into what he is doing today. And connected to that, how we don't want to live our greatest day of faith 20 years ago or 15 years ago or 5 years ago, but as a church, as individuals, we want to be living our greatest day of faith right now and going forward as a church family. And I read an article a while back, and it was connected to this idea of how something from the way past can be a foundational ingredient to something in the present. And it's a true story about this man by the name of Tom Brock. He was a biologist. And back in 1964, so what was that, 60-some years ago, he was at Yellowstone for the very first time in his life. He was visiting as a tourist, taking in all the geysers and the hot springs, and just as a scientist, viewing all that a little bit differently than your normal Yellowstone National. By who's been to Yellowstone before? Curious out there. Yep, quite a few. You know the geysers and the hot springs. So he's looking at the hot springs, and he notices that this hot boiling water was so crystal clear, and he begins to wonder to himself and become curious as only a scientist can about, I wonder what bacteria live in those hot geysers, in that hot environment that brings such clarity to the water. Now, who thinks about these things, right? Oh, I don't necessarily think about that when I go to Yellowstone. But as a result, he went back and he actually got a grant and was able to come back a year later and with a student team and begin to study the microbes that exist in some of the hottest places on Earth, hottest environments on Earth, in this case, Yellowstone. And they began 10 years of research, what scientists would call basic research, where they didn't really know what they were going to discover. They didn't know how it was going to be used. They were just hoping that it would be useful. And their goal was as vague as it was grand. This was their goal: to advance scientific understanding about organisms living in one of the Earth's most extreme environments. And most people who knew Tom Brock at the time joked with him that his research grant was more like a vacation grant because he got to go to Yellowstone all the time and to study there with all these different teams. But little did everyone know that as he was studying with all these people, the bacteria in those hot springs that could exist in those hot temperatures, that he would discover this bacteria, and inside the bacteria that he discovered was this enzyme, this little enzyme, that has had quite a bit of an impact in the last few years, because the enzyme that was inside the bacteria that Tom Brock discovered some 60 years ago is one of the key ingredients that was used in all of those COVID tests that were used in the tens of thousands around our nation and around the world over these last few years. And Tom Brock actually passed away in 2021 in the midst of all the things that were going on in COVID. He was 94 years old, but they interviewed him just before he passed away. And as I was listening to the interview and thinking about, he was talking about just how, you know, you never know what's going to happen in this little piece of your life and how it can become significant later. And I was listening, it reminded me of what we're looking at today in Psalm 90. Because in a much greater way, in a much more profound way, in Psalm 90, we have Moses, who is looking back at his life and wanting it to inform him as he prays in this psalm. It's actually a song in many ways, as he sings this song to the Lord so that he can be living his greatest day of faith today. And he wanted to see the present clearer in light of who God was in the past. And he's thinking about all the little things, all the big things that God had done in his life and the life of the Israelites as he prays this psalm. And Moses didn't lead a research team, but he did lead a nation. He led a people through the wilderness, the people of Israel. And so he's reflecting before the Lord in this prayer. Let's read it today and ask God to teach us from it so we can live our greatest day of faith today. Would you stand with me, church family? We're in Psalm 90, and by the way, if you're a guest with us today, we always put the notes on the screen and also the scripture verses. There are Bibles in the seat backs in front of you. Also, as you come in, you can always scan the QR code just before you enter the doors, and it'll bring up the electronic notes of the sermon. And we also include in there some questions if you want to talk as a family later about the message or do a Bible study with some other people, with friends or family. That's available as well. We're in Psalm 90, this prayer of Moses, this man of God, and this is what we read starting in verse 1, and then we're going to pray. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had informed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Would you pray with me, church family? Father God, I just want to say thank you for being here right now, Lord, with us. We praise you today. We're so thankful for who you are. We're thankful for your living word. And we ask you to do that work of wonder in us right now as we continue to worship, Lord, through looking to you that only you can do. And we invite you, O Holy Spirit, to speak to our hearts that we may live in the fullest of who you are. We love you, Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I'll fess up in the beginning here that Psalm 90 is one of those passages of Scripture, one of those places in the Bible that is a perspective anchor for me. It's a part of the Bible that has been very significant to me at key moments in my life. And I first really discovered this psalm when I was sitting on a mountaintop on this ledge overlooking the wilderness of Israel. And I was studying abroad for a month. I was there for seminary. And our Bible prof, after having studied a lot of the book of Exodus, had sent us out into the wilderness to read Psalm 90 and reflect upon what Moses must have been thinking as he prays this psalm, as he sings this psalm. And Moses is seeing his life with spiritual eyes as he reflects on years past and years yet to come. And he wants his life to count for the glory of God. He wants his life to make God famous. And look how the psalm begins again, because it's a prayer really given in the form of a song. I won't sing for you because you'd all leave if I did that, but I will read it to you. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. And the key verse, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And most likely Moses is writing this, he's praying this later on in life as he's reflecting on all that God had brought him through with the Israelites. This is after he had been raised in Egypt. This is after he had seen the burning bush and the Lord spoke to him. This is after leading the people out of slavery, fleeing Pharaoh, fleeing his chariots, crossing the Red Sea. This is after 40 years of leading the people of Israel through the wilderness experience, which were 40 years probably of the toughest parts of Moses' life in leadership. And as Moses prayed through and reflected on how to live towards God's glory with his life, there's this peace as you're reading this, you realize he's perplexed. And he's troubled by the brevity of life. And he's experiencing his own personal countdown to eternity, so to speak. And he understands that often in life, that life moves quickly. It races by us. You know, it's like driving down a highway and, you know, your life's just kind of going, you know, you're born, you go to elementary school, you know, you're in middle school, you know, sometimes you're in middle school, it feels like eternity, but middle school passes by and then you're in high school, you know, whatever comes after high school, your 20s and 30s, your careers, and all of a sudden retirement, and then retirement, and life just keeps on moving. And the way Moses figures it, we all get about 70 or 80 years if we're really fortunate. Now, I know those of you who are in your 70s or 80s are like, well, that's a little short, isn't it? You know, it's Moses' perspective here. And in verse 10, he says, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil, and they are soon gone, and we fly away. And whatever our number turns out to be, they pass quickly. And he says, before you know it, we've come to the end. And we're wondering if our life has been worth something. We're wondering if our life has counted towards the glory of God. Now, I was joking about being in your 70s or 80s. I heard this great story about this older couple recently. There's this man who was older, and he was visiting his friend who was even older than him and his wife, and they'd been married for 70 years. And when I say older, I'm not going to say their age. They're just older, all right? And he's at their house. He's visiting with them, and this man, he's observing this couple that's been married for so long, and he was just so taken by them because the husband was just using all these endearing terms to refer to his wife. Is going, honey, and sweetheart, and darling, and love, and pumpkin, and, you know, as he's hearing all this, he's looking at their lives, he's realizing, no, they have been through some hard times, they've been married 70 years, they've earned their stripes, and obviously they're still madly in love with each other. And then his friend's wife left for a moment to go to the kitchen, and so he leaned over to his friend, his older friend, and he said, hey, I just gotta tell you, it's just so encouraging and inspiring just to see all these endearing terms that you use for your wife, and just shows how in love with you are with each other. And his friend kind of got this shameful look on his face, and he looked down for a second, and he looked up again. He says, well, I have to tell you the truth. I forgot her name 10 years ago. Oh, man. So Moses asks, has it been all trouble and sorrow, or will we have something to show for the years we've spent in the world? And in Psalm 90, Moses is asking a question that we all ask in life. We don't ask it every day, but we ask it on certain days. We ask it in those moments where life slows down a little bit. We ask it in those significant milestone moments of life. We ask it when we're sitting in someone else's memorial and thinking about our own life. We ask it at those celebration moments. And he's wanting to know that his life counted. But not just for anything, but for God's glory and making God famous. I had a special privilege recently, and that was to officiate the wedding for Amanda Padilla and Connor Hedigan, who are sitting right over here today. So we can just give them a congratulations. They were married a few weeks ago. One of the special things that I get to do sometimes is to meet with a couple and do premarital counseling and then to officiate their wedding. And Their wedding was precious. It was in Simi, and it was at a Hummingbird Ranch, and the hills were beautiful. It was just fantastic, but it was actually a little stressful for me, and they didn't even know this, but it had nothing to do with them or the wedding, but their wedding was on a Friday, and we had moved on a Thursday to the new house that we just bought, and all of our stuff was arriving on Thursday, and I literally haven't seen that stuff in like 8 months, but what I was expecting to arrive to the house that day was my suit. That I use when I only have one suit. And so I was, you know, getting ready, and we were going, all the stuff was getting delivered to our house, and I was kind of nervous thinking about the wedding the next day, and I was going through all of our closet stuff expecting to find my suit to officiate the wedding for. And like, I'm going through everything, and there's no suit. And this is a problem when you're a pastor and you have a wedding the next day. And so I had actually borrowed, just in case, the suit of Robert, who is our men's ministry leader and facilities director. I mean, Robert's a good-looking guy. He's a big, strong guy. His suit jacket fit me perfectly, but not his pants. And so here I am, Friday. I have about an hour and a half before I need to leave to officiate their wedding, and I'm at Men's Warehouse trying to get fitted for some pants that will match Robert's suit jacket. But it all worked out just fine, because here they are. They're married. It happens. So it's really good. But the reason I share that is this. One of the reasons I love doing premarital counseling and working with a young couple like Amanda and Connor is that when you're getting married, you're thinking about the future and all that God can do and all that's going to happen in your life. And there's this sense of expectation. And for Moses in this moment, he is looking back at his life. And so that he can look forward to the present and future, wanting to make God famous based on who the Lord's been to him in the past, so that he can live his greatest day of faith today. And so Moses begins to give some important biblical truths that really just help us keep life in perspective. And the first one is the eternal nature of God. This is how he puts it. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from... Oh, by the way, I did find my suit. I did. A week and a half later in the garage box. I don't know why, but that's where it was. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And of all people, Moses understood the eternal nature of God. Remember, Moses is the one that God says, well, you're going to lead the people out of slavery, out of Egypt. And Moses says, well, what should I tell the people? Who should I tell the people sent me? And God tells him, tell them I am who I am. It's this Hebrew names that means that God always was, always is, and always will be. And it speaks to how God has no beginning or end. He is eternal. And to make the point, Moses says in verse 4, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. 1,000 years for the Lord goes like that. God is not affected by the passing of time like we are. He's never late. He's never in a rush, and he's never tired. Amen. He is not. The second thing he puts in perspective is the frailty of life, or the frailty of human life. He says, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. And he's reminding us that these bodies that we work so hard to take care of, and we should, and to keep healthy and to make ourselves look attractive and all those good things, that one day these bodies are actually to turn back to dust, and that life goes quickly. I have a pastor friend, and he was with his wife in Kauai, and they were hiking. If you've ever been to Kauai, there's all these rainforests, and they were hiking this trail along this bluff on this mountainside, and the ground was wet, and she slipped and actually fell off the cliff that was right there. And her husband, my friend, he reached for her, but he couldn't grab her in time, and they had to get a helicopter, and she was rescued, and she was severely injured, and she didn't die from her injuries immediately, but she died shortly after. They'd been married 3 years. She was 25. When things like that happen, you don't even have a place to put that. And the only place to go is to the heart and the arms of Jesus Christ. For his hope is actually greater than the worst circumstances that we can walk through in this world. And Moses also addresses a sense of our own failures as well. He says it this way, "For we are brought to an end by your anger, but by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set your iniquities before you, our secret sins in light of your presence." And at times in life, it feels like our failures are more in our face than our successes. And there are these certain moments in life where you feel, you know, more that you're thinking more about what you're not instead of who God is making you by his grace. And somewhere in it all, we have this sense that God actually wants to work in and through our brokenness, not just despite it. In fact, deep down, all of us at different moments have this sense that we were made for something more, even more than this life. The Bible puts it this way, that God has set eternity in our hearts. And so we want to do something that will last, that will count, that will make God famous in our today. And as you read this psalm, you can almost begin to feel how the whole first half is a lament. He's grieving the hard parts of his life before the Lord. He's also grieving his own failures and what could have been. And then all of a sudden in verse 13, he begins to shift gears and he says, "Return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants." And he begins to look to the hope of Christ, to the Messiah who would come. And he's basically saying, "Messiah, come. Savior, come." And when we're facing our own frailty and our own brokenness, the most natural response is to say, "Oh, Savior, come soon." And so the question begins to be, so how do we resolve this tension between the eternal nature of God, the brevity and the frailty of life, and even our own failures? And how do we live for the glory of God today? How do we make God famous with our life right now? How do we live our greatest day of faith right now? And the answer that Moses gives, it's clear, it's day, the way he writes it. He says, well, the way you do that is to number your days, which means to count them, to value them in light of your relationship with God. He says it this way, so teach us, verse 12, to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And all of a sudden in verse 12, it's this turning point of the psalm where the song shifts from lament to hope. And that shift is not based on something small like turning from one year to the next, like 2022 to 2023, or from April to May, or spring to summer, or baseball season to football season, which is always a great time of year for me. I'm just saying that out there. As great as baseball it is, you know, the draft was this last week. It just makes me hungry for August. I'm just putting that out there right now. But the turning point that this psalm is talking about is based on who Jesus is, which actually makes what he's talking about available to every one of us today, because it's based on the Lord and not on our circumstances. And the wisdom that he is speaking of is a biblical wisdom of how to live in relationship with God through trusting Jesus Christ. He's speaking about the skill of living life with the heart of the Messiah alive in us, the heart of Christ guiding us. And numbering our days is an interesting concept because everybody counts something, but wise people count the things that really matter. Realizing that certain things are not unimportant, but not at the same time, they're not all important. And so look at what he says and what it means to count our days, to live a life that counts towards the glory of God. First, he says to embrace our today, to embrace our today. Most people live like they have an unlimited number of days, but the songwriter Moses reminds us that we actually have a limited number of days. He says we get 70 or 80 if we're really blessed. And the point that he's making is, as a result, no matter what you get, embrace your today with the day you've been given today. He says, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Now, 70 or 80 may sound like a lot, especially when you're 15. But when you're 70 or 80 or even 90, it doesn't sound like a lot, does it? It may not even sound like enough. But the point is to count the days we've been given in light of who Jesus Christ is. And when you do the math, when you actually number your days, you find out that if you live to be 80 years old, that means you get about 29,200 days in your life. If you live to be 90, it means you get 3,650 more days. If you live to be 100, you get another 3,650 days. But just a point of note, only 1 in 100 people in America live to be a centenarian or live to be 100 years old. And the point that he is making is it really doesn't matter whether you're 70 or whether you get 80 or whether you get 90 or whether you get 25 like my friend's wife. The point is, embrace the day you have today for Jesus Christ. As one commentator put it, teach us to remember that we must die in order that we might know how to live. So embrace each day in the fullest in Jesus Christ, living a life that counts towards his glory, whether that means serving someone that God put in your life, whether that means loving someone in the name of Christ or telling them who Jesus is or just enjoying the moments that God's given you with the people around you, the people that he strategically placed in your life today. Not the people that will be in your life tomorrow, but the ones that are in your life today. Embrace that life and embrace those people. You know, I think about this sometimes, how blessed I am to be your pastor. Do you know that? I just feel so blessed to be the pastor of Encounter. I mean, with all my heart. I get to follow Jesus with you. I get to do life with all of you. I get to serve the Lord together. I'm partnered with this amazing team of partners on our staff and through the many ministries of our church. And I'm just blessed all the time. And God's just, as a family, we just feel so blessed all together. And there's even these fringe benefits that the Lord has done. You know, we used to live in Northern California. Now we're in Southern California-ish, you know. But as a result, you know, our daughters were in college before we moved here down in this general region. So now we're closer to our daughters who are in college. And so that means that sometimes I have this standing date with one of my daughters in Santa Barbara. It's the coolest thing in the world. I drive up to Santa Barbara and we have lunch together. She picks the location, I pay. It's just how it works. We start chatting about life and talking about things, and I just love sitting and listening to her and seeing the woman of God that God is making her. Recently, we've been chatting how she just got a new boyfriend, and it's serious. He's a great godly man, and I cherish those moments. And part of what we're being reminded in Psalm 90 today to embrace the day you've been given with the people you've been given today in the name of Jesus Christ. Love on them hard. Serve them in the name of Jesus Christ hard. Embrace one another, the people that God's put in your life. Another thing he says is to invest in what matters or what counts. He says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And this heart of wisdom that he's talking about is found because Jesus Christ is actually changing us from the inside out as we follow him. And this wisdom that the psalm is speaking to is this biblical wisdom that was mentioned earlier. It's the ability to live life to the fullest in Jesus Christ. It's that wisdom that guides us in the midst of the rat race, so that we really are investing in what really matters as we're walking through life. It's one of the reasons as a church family that we do events like IF yesterday. Man, all kinds of work goes into an event like that. But man, to have a day where women are able to sit in the presence of God together and to be encouraged in his word and to be launched into life, what an amazing opportunity. It's why just about a month from now, on the first Saturday of June, we're having a men's training that we're calling Charged, and We're going to have a guest speaker. His name is Miguel de la Mora. I'm telling you, men, right now, you do not want to miss that day. He is just an amazing man of God, and he just has great information for men in living life. He's also really funny, which helps as well. But we're just having a great speaker coming for that. It's why we have Bible studies during the week. And man, how encouraging to hear that 60 women are joining a small group coming out of IF. Do you know that our Women of the Word Bible study that goes on every week has a little over 100 women every week? Man, praise God for that. Amen. Denise is the leader of that. I just thank God so much for women like Denise as well. So think of it this way. If you were to number your days, your hours, your minutes, what would it reveal about how you're investing your time, your time portfolio? How much time do you spend getting closer to the Lord on your own? How much time do you spend in worship or in a small group? And think about it for a moment, because if you are like a super worship attender, all right? How many of you think you're a super worship attender? You don't have to raise your hand. But if you're a super worship attender, that means you probably go to church about 50 out of the 52 weeks a year, okay? That's like a super attender, because statistically in America today, for the average person who worships on a Sunday, they come one out of every 6 weeks, and they think that means I'm a regular attender, all right? But if you were to come 50 out of the 52 weeks a year, that means that in the 9,000 hours that you have been blessed with in the next year, 50 of those hours will have been given to corporate worship in your next year. Now, if your pastor's long-winded, I'll give you 60, okay? And then if you throw on top of that a small group Bible study of some kind where you can gather around the Word of God and around friendship together that's centered on Jesus Christ, you could throw in another 100 hours. And so in the 9,000 hours that you have been blessed with and get to invest in, that'd be about 160 hours over the next 9,000 hours you'll be given where you're really growing with other people in the Lord. And that's a great place to start. It's a great foundation to start. And you really don't know how you're spending your time until you actually sit down and number it. And you count it in light of who Christ is, in light of eternity, and you invest in what matters. And the thing about time, unlike money, is we're all given the same amount of time. We all get 24 hours a day. And we all get just enough time to do what the Lord's called us to in that day. And that's why it's so important to number our days and our hours and to value them. So how are you currently investing your time? Do you need to adjust your time portfolio to be investing in what and who really matter in your life right now with a Christ-filled perspective? He also tells us to live lives that count towards God's glory by rejoicing in Christ. And he says specifically in the morning. Now, we know we can rejoice at all times, but this is the way Moses puts it. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. So what he's getting at here is that no matter how tough it is, no matter how challenging it is out there, to begin your day, and we know we can do this anytime, but he's saying begin it in the morning where you rejoice in the goodness of who Jesus Christ is, in the goodness of God, basically setting the trajectory of your day to be focused on him as you launch into your day. And he does say specifically in the morning. Now, I'm going to confess to you, I am not a naturally a morning person. Any amens out there for people out there? But I will tell you, over time, I have grown to value my early morning devotions. Like, I just love that time. It's one of my favorite parts of the day. In fact, usually when I'm having my devotions in the morning, it's right this time of year, it's right before, right as the sun is coming up, and I just love watching that. And part of the reason I always am able to get up in time for my devotions is I have two furry friends. Yeah. Our dogs, by the way. And they come and they wake me up if I don't get up in time, and I feed them and do all that stuff, and it sets up my time for the morning. And he's saying, man, I just, part of rejoicing and part of making your life count is to begin with just a focus on the goodness of God. And Psalm 90 began by mentioning the wrath of God in verse 9. And now Moses looks at the Lord's grace. And the amazing thing about God's grace and about his forgiveness is that no one can stand before God and claim that God treated them unfairly except those who receive his grace. It's actually the paradox of the cross. We deserve wrath because of our sin before a holy God, He offers us grace through Jesus Christ and through the cross. And then Moses also invites us to rejoice where we see God working around us. He says in verse 16, "Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children." He's basically saying, "Lord, show me where you're at work today, so that I can be right where you're at and right in the midst of what you're doing, and I can be investing in what matters, embracing the people that you've strategically put around me." And then finally, he tells us to invite his blessing on all that we do. You know, one of the things that kids do sometimes with their parents is they ask for their blessing in order to do something. And this is a great prayer ask, to just ask the Lord's blessing on the different things that we're involved in life. He puts it this way in verse 17, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. And Moses is a realist. He knows how hard life can be, and yet look at what he says in his prayer. "And establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. In other words, Lord, you're the one who makes what I'm doing right now significant, whatever it is that I'm doing. Whatever career I'm in, whatever my relationships are right now, Lord, you're the one who makes it significant. And so would you take what I'm doing with my life and with my hands, and would you establish it for your glory? And so, Encounter family, I don't know when the last time was that you wondered, man, is what I'm doing significant? Does it count? And part of what God is reminding us today is whether you're doing medical research or setting up networks or maintaining networks or protecting the public or fighting fires or raising children or changing diapers or taking care of a loved one or whatever it may be, to let God establish the work of your hands and to live a life that counts for his glory, making God famous as you embrace the day he gave you today, investing in what really matters because of who he is, rejoicing in him so you're connected to him and inviting his blessing. It's yours, Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I want to lift up those in the room who, for whatever reason, have just been wondering if what they're focusing their time on lately counts. And Lord, we just confess to you as a church that we want to live lives that count for your glory and that make you famous. And so, Lord, we invite your blessing on what we're doing with our hands and with our lives and with our mouths. And we just ask you to go before us. And Lord, we rejoice in you today for the reminder that you are the one that makes what we do significant. And so, Lord, I pray for the moms in the room and the dads, and the friends, the aunties and uncles and the grandparents, for the bosses, for the employees, Lord, and everything in between. And we ask that you would establish the work of our hands for your glory and help us to see the today you've given us as a gift from you. We love you, Jesus. Amen.